Well, this was one week that I had a title before the bulletins got printed. I don't always do that. Okay. I want to talk this morning about the church, who we are in Christ. And so I've titled it the Church, the Body of Christ. We'll be looking into Colossians and Ephesians and various places in the Word of God, where he talks about the church. I believe we're going to start though today in Matthew 16. I didn't have this scripture written in there, but it's one that I would like to add to what we're going to look at today. Matthew 16. You want to turn there. We'll be looking at 13 through 19 of Matthew 16. Let's begin today with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for just giving me the words to say today. And Father, I pray that I won't get in your way today, but that I'll allow you to say what you want to the church today. And Father, that you'll have your way in all that we do. Help us to see who we are in you. Understand our place, to understand, Father, that we are your body, that you are the head, and we are the body. We're your hands and feet and knees and elbows. We're all the parts that you need to make the church work, to make the body of Christ flow and function as it should. So, Father, show each one of us today where we belong in the body of Christ and how we fit in. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to see us get used to saying, instead of we're going to church, I can remember this my whole life, we're going to church. And the church was the building, but the church is not the building, is it? The church is the people. As I want you to get used to knowing that we are the church. It doesn't matter if we meet here or if we met out in a field somewhere, we're still the church. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're his body. And I want to show you through Scripture this morning the relevance of that, how important that is, that we are Christ's body, that we're his body, that we're his hands and feet. We're doing what he wants us to do, and we have to walk in obedience to do that. So let's begin in Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. And this is Peter's confession of Jesus asked him, Who do you think I am? Who do people say that I am? Was his first question. And let's just look what he says here. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. What about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? And he was asking this, he was meeting here with his disciples. He had his disciples around him, and so he was asking them, who do you say, do you know who I am, is what he's basically asking. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Christ is the Messiah. You're the one who has come into the world to save the world, to save us from death for our sins, basically. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and Peter, it says, means rock. So you are a rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So Jesus has supremacy. You know, last week I remember Matt talking about the awesomeness of God, who God is, and how he is God. I mean, there's no one above God, and there's no one above Jesus. And because Jesus is God and God is Jesus, the Trinity, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one, and they're all together. And so they are supreme. There's no one above our God. There's no one above our God. So I wanted to get the supremacy of Christ into our heads first this morning before we go on into the church and who we are as the body of Christ. So now let's go over to Colossians, and I want to begin actually in chapter 1 of Colossians. So just go back through the New Testament about halfway, and you'll find Colossians back there. Between Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. And you'll notice that all of these letters that we're looking at today are letters to the church. Paul, in his ministry, went around to all the different segments of the church and the different areas. And so this was to the church at Colossae. This letter was. And so they're writing, he's writing to the church, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, is that this writing is for us today, for the church. And we're going to begin in chapter 1, verses, let's begin at 9, I think, in chapter 1 of Colossians. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So in Jesus we have our redemption. He's the one that forgives our sins. He's the one that has the power to do that. Those are our sins as far as the way as the east is from the west, He says, to remember them no more. And I think that's some of the problems that we have. We want to remember. We want to remember, and so we don't forget. But sometimes those are things that we need to just forget. And this whole first part of the chapter here is where he's praying for the church. He's lifting up the church. And then we're going to then look at down in the last part of Colossians, verses 24 and following. It's talking about the church being the body of Christ. And in verse 24 it says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission that God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness." And that's a verse that Matt and I take very seriously, because we have also been commissioned by God to bring to you the truth of God's Word, to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. just as Paul did to the church at Colossae. And so we pay attention to the importance of it, and that we tell you only the truth. As I was reading my dailies these last week, in the first part of Luke, when Luke was starting his gospel here, in chapter 1, it says, "Many have undertaken to draw up on an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." So Luke was saying, I'm only writing down and putting into writing what somebody has witnessed, an eyewitness account of what God is doing or what Jesus is doing around our area. And so that's how we can know that God's word is true. All of it is true, and we can say that it is, and yes and amen to it, because it has been written by eyewitnesses, people who saw what Jesus did, people who walked with him and did the things that he told them to do. So we can know that we're presenting you the truth of the gospel. It's not anything that we're changing or trying to make you understand something that's not true, because everything that's written in here is the truth for the church. And it says that in verse 26 that it's the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So, as Paul was laboring for the church, so also we labor to bring you all into the fullness of Christ, so that you know who you are as a Christian, so that you know the authority that you have in God, that you know that you can have authority over the enemy, that you, because God has defeated him. He defeated him at the cross. So we have that authority as Christians, as children of his, as the body of Christ, to walk in power, to walk, to defeat the enemy, to take care of the problems that come up in life. And so thank the Lord that he has given us that authority. Now let's go over to Ephesians. And that's just back a couple of books. And I want to begin in chapter 3. All of Ephesians is excellent. If you want a place just to go and read about the church, about who you are in Christ, about all of the different things that go on in the church. And we're just going to be looking at a small portion of it today. But in Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14, I think I've got that right. And this is a prayer for the church at Ephesus. Actually, we're going to begin at verse 15. It says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. So according to these verses here, Jesus Christ is our head. He is the head of the body, which is the church, which we are all a part of. We are all part of the church. And anybody that comes in new and comes to worship with us here, I tell them when they come, if this is not the place that you feel comfortable worshiping in, then find a place that is, because there's little pockets of the church all over the county. I'm thankful that He put me here because I get to worship with my neighbors, and that's what I like. I love worshiping with the people that I'm with in the community. It's awesome to be able to just drive 4.5 miles to church, or to meet with the church, I should say. We've gotten so used to calling the building the church that I have to even retrain myself. But we are the church. But when the church assembles, and I thank God that I'm able to worship with my neighbors, with the people that I'm in the community with the people that the grandchildren go to school with. So we see you guys not only here, but at school, at a lot of different activities that we're all in together. Maybe some of you are in 4-H together. There's ball games and sports and riding horses, all kinds of things that we do in the community that we're able to share rather than just this little bit of time on Sunday mornings. And that's awesome for me. I love to be able to worship with those that I'm in the community with those that we work with. Even Jesse and I get to work with people in the community, and that's also awesome for us to get to share in that. It's just a great place to be, and I love doing that. So we're especially thankful, guys, for all of you that are here that have decided to make Open Arms Christian Church your home, and that's, we need every one of you. All of you are important in the church. You all have a place, you all have something that you do in the church, and it's important. No matter how small or how great, every part is important. He talks about the church being the body of Christ, and I've used this illustration before, but when I had my finger cut off, I missed it because the first load of, we always wheeled concrete for footers and stuff, and the first load I picked up, I just dumped it right over because there was no strength, I was missing strength in this hand, so I picked the wheelbarrow up ready to go with it, and I just lost it. I mean, dumped it right out the side of the wheelbarrow. Well, this isn't going to work. So I had lost strength because I was missing one of my fingers. But I found that after 3 or 4 years, the other fingers filled up the hole that was there and took the strength up for that one that was missing. So when part of the body is missing, the others have to fill in that gap. The others have to fill in where that piece is missing and make it work together then for the good of the body. And so that's why it's easy for me to illustrate that every one of you is important, no matter how insignificant you think you are or that you feel. You're important in the body of Christ because all of us has a part to fulfill, has a place to work in the body of Christ. And that's why we stress to you that it's so important to find a place where you can serve, because it's important that each one of us has a place in the body to serve and to work and to do, so that we feel important, so that we feel needed in the body of Christ. So that's also very, very important that you take time to pick up and think, well, where can I serve? Where can I do the most good in the body of Christ? Because He gives each one of us gifts. You all know where you're gifted in an area. And so if you have a gifting in a certain area and you'd like to work in that area, just let us know. Let either Julie or one of the elders know, and we'll get you plugged in, because it's important that you feel needed, that you feel wanted in the body of Christ. And so find a place where you can fit, where you can do what you need to do in the body of Christ to work together so that it all works for God's glory. Now we're going to go over to chapter 4 in Ephesians. Actually, I just read out of chapter 1, and I was supposed to be in chapter 3. So we got a little bit of extra today. For this reason, I'm going to actually 3:14 now. And this is a prayer for the Ephesians. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So Jesus is able to do more than we can even think up, than we can even imagine. Some of us have pretty good imaginations, don't we? And if you read that verse and you think, well, He can do more than I can imagine, that's a lot. Because a lot of us have really good imaginations. We can think up a lot of things. And according to verse 20, He is the one who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Now let's go over to 14:1 and see what He says here in chapter 14. It says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received." So it's important that we're obedient to the Word, that we do what Father asks us to do. Be completely humble and gentle, He says, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So, even though we're a little segment of the body of Christ here, it's all one body. And that's why it doesn't bother me to tell the church, if you don't fit here, Find a place where you fit, where you feel comfortable, where you can worship and serve and do what God wants you to do without feeling like you're a nobody. I mean, you need to feel important in the church. And so it doesn't bother me at all, because the church is not just right here. The church is universal. The church has many different names, many different denominations, if you want to call them that. We've all probably come from a denomination, no background. All of us have come from one of the big denominations in the church. Most of them are built on man-made rules instead of just biblical principles. And I can remember as growing up in the Mennonite church, there's a lot of rules, a lot of structure that most of it had nothing to do with the Word of God. It was just man-made rules that somebody wanted you to follow, and they're still doing that today. Sadly to say, the Mennonite church that I went to is now down to maybe 10 people. They actually were talking about changing the name because of they were getting so few and they couldn't get people interested in coming. So I'm not sure how that happened. That's actually where the Awakening Christian Fellowship is meeting now. Steve Brenneman has moved into their place there and is having his Saturday evening service. So it's beginning to grow and to flourish again. But it's amazing how as I get into a lot of the small churches around the county, a lot of them are failing because they're down to 10 or 15 men and women who are 70 to 80 years old with no children at all. And what's going to happen when they're all gone? So it's amazing how church buildings where the church meets, a lot of them are now empty, coming up for sale because they don't have anybody to meet there anymore. We're in a time when God's church should be growing. It's getting smaller in some areas. So I thank the Lord for all of you. When Matt and Jess and I get together for prayer and to communicate and share together around the church, why, we're blessed to have you guys, for all of you. We're blessed that you feel like you're welcome here and that you have a part here, and so we're thankful for all of that. Okay, so there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. And it was he, the one who is supreme, there is no one above him, who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers. So all of us, as I said, all of us have a gift. All of us have a calling. And he's put all of these different ministries in the church. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all fulfill the same function. If we were all an elbow, where would the rest of the body be? We need all the parts. And these are all to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So when each one does its part, it says we can all be built up and encouraged and brought into the fullness of God, become mature, attaining to His whole measure of fullness. So then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. As I said earlier, the enemy tries many different ways to come into our lives. His whole job is to kill, steal, and destroy. He came to steal, and I've heard if he can get in and tear up our homes, then he can come in and tear up the church as well. And he is so deceitful that it says in the Word of God, and I did not look this verse up, but it says that if the time hadn't been shortened, he said, if I don't shorten the time, he says, even the very elect will be deceived. And that's a scary thought, to know that even the very elect of God, the ones who he has chosen even to lead, could be deceived by the enemy. He's very, very scheming, very deceitful. And so we have to be aware of that. That's why it's so important that we spend time in the Word every day, learning what God wants, learning what He has for us and who He is and who we are in Christ. So it says here that we will no longer be tossed back and forth by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head. That is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So as each one of us does the part that we're supposed to, we might just be a ligament or a muscle, might be a toe or a finger, an eyebrow. Ever think of the significance of your eyebrow? What's that really there for? It's important. God put eyebrows on all of us, didn't He? So maybe you're an eyebrow. Or just a knuckle. Maybe it might be very insignificant what you are, but it's so important in the body of Christ that each of us does our part so that we all work together for the glory of God. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3 to finish up today. Malachi is just the last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. And I want to look in chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. We are a treasured possession. We're valuable to the Father. We're valuable to Jesus. And I want you to know how valuable you are. It says in verse 16, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession." So we are His treasured possession. We are His. He's looking out for us. He says, "I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." So there's going to be a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, those who serve God and those who don't. He's going to write a scroll of remembrance. So everything's going to be brought out, guys. What we are, what we act like when we're not here. So we need to be the church all week long. We're not just here for an hour on Sunday mornings or 2 hours on Sunday mornings, but we're the church all the time. So we need to go out this week and act like we're the church. We need to act like we're the church. Become the men and women that God has called us to be. If you want to look at more scripture, I'm not going to go into it, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the scripture. I don't know if you remember how many of you were here for One Fest, but that is the actual scripture that Brad got the idea for One Fest from. One body, many members. It says the same thing that it did there in Ephesians, how we need one another. We need the whole body of Christ. I can remember Ben preaching about big C, little C. So we're just a little part of the big church. But just remember who you are in Christ, that we are the church, the body of Christ. And each one of us doing our part, we're able to function as a whole and to do what God has called us to do. So, if any of you need prayer this morning, I would ask you to come and we'll pray with you. You guys have a last song for us? So come. The elders will come and be up here for you if you'd like to pray. If any of you have never accepted the Lord as your Savior and you'd like to do that this morning, I want to give opportunity for that as well. If any of you needs a New Testament, I've got one of those that I'd like to give somebody. So if any of you youngsters or even an oldster, these are nice little testaments because they have helps in the back of them, or in the front of them. There's a place where you can look if you have any kind of a need, any kind of a struggle, and you can find scripture to help you through that. So if anybody would like one of these, well, I've always got one of them with me to share with you, and you can keep it. So anybody who wants prayer, why, feel free to come, and we'd love to pray with you.